Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, ten.
The Celtics have certainly missed Marcus Smart on both ends as Brown drives in, kicks it out, Tatum. Blocked by Butler, rejected out of bounds. Doing it all for the Heat here in game one.
And that's where Miami is different.
Welcome to the NBA Daily Ding on the Athletic NBA Show.
Ding, ding.
How about we can just watch basketball?
I like that idea.
Hello and welcome to the Daily Ding on the Athletic NBA Show. I'm Dave DeFore here with Mo DeKeel for your Eastern Conference Finals Game 1 recap. Before we start, don't forget you can get this podcast without ads by subscribing at theathletic.com/NBA Show. Mo, absolutely monster performance by Jimmy Butler showing up. Jimmy Buckets in this one for sure. 41 big points for Jimmy Butler to lead the Miami Heat to a 118-107 victory over the Boston Celtics in Game 1. Mo, we're going to start with Boston and how they started this game, but Jimmy Butler's the big story. This guy was insane today.
No, I mean, Jimmy turned it up another notch, right? And by the way, it's not just today. This is what he's been doing all playoffs, and I think that's something that maybe doesn't get covered as much as it should. But this is what he's done throughout the entire playoffs in this Miami Heat run. And this is, you know, whatever we want to say about the bubble, this is similar to the way he was playing in the bubble, just kind of taking over and controlling things and things like that. Just another impressive playoff performance from Jimmy.
And we'll get to Jimmy specifically in a minute, especially when we talk about that third quarter. But let's get to the game. I thought Boston started this game out really, really well. Rob Williams, effective immediately, put up 8 points in that first quarter. I thought the Boston's defense was great. Mo, what happened, man? They just started falling apart. I thought in the second they even looked a little worse.
So like it started probably like the last 2 or 3 minutes of the second quarter. They built a 13-point lead. They go into the lead with an 8-point halftime lead, I think, going into the half. And I think the issue was, and this is people don't want to hear this, but fatigue. I think they got tired. And I think that's really kind of the big takeaway for me with that. They just played a game 7 on Sunday. Lose Marcus Smart. You lose Al Horford. Your rotation's now screwed up. You're playing guys like Aaron Nesmith more minutes than you want to, probably playing Daniel Tice more than you want to. And I think that just wore them down. And the big number, Dave, that I'm really kind of locking in on is, in the first half, they had 15 points in transition. They finished the game with 19, I believe. And to be honest, they only had one in the third quarter. And I think the other transition point they got in the fourth quarter was pretty much when the game was over. So it was just, I think they got tired. Their legs weren't quite there. Fatigue began to set in. And then that led to all the mistakes they made in the third quarter.
And Robert Williams looked the freshest. And which he should, because he's missed so much time so far in the playoffs. I mean, he had 12 points, 5 rebounds, and a couple of blocks in that first half. And he was extremely effective. Wound up plus 5 for the game, 18, 9 rebounds. Still, you know, didn't block any more shots. But, you know, you start to look at the fact that they were missing Horford, who's in health and safety protocols. They're missing Marcus Smart. And you have to think, Mo, that a team that doesn't have a lot of depth, losing two starters, is probably the big reason why they fell apart in the second half.
I mean, it's one of the reasons. Let's not also, the other reason is the Miami Heat, right? And they were unbelievable in this. Listen, they came out in the first half and were terrible. It's not even like, you can't even really argue, except for Tyler Hero. They were pretty bad in the first half. Hero came in and brought some energy, but they were brutal.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear,
courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Tyler Hero had 7 points and 3 assists in the first quarter. And you're right, man. They couldn't get anything going on offense. I thought Boston's defense was playing really tough, really physical. And Hero came in and was able to create some stuff off the dribble for them that just wasn't happening before that. Really kept them in it going into that second quarter. And if it hadn't been for his spurt there in the first, maybe they're not able to have this huge third quarter and get the big lead that they had going into the fourth. Jason Tatum had an awesome first half as well. I mean, everything went right for Boston in the first half, I thought, aside from the energy. 21 points, 5 assists, 4 rebounds. And Jason Tatum playing some of the best wing defense in the NBA right now. And that was on full display in the first half.
Yeah, and then it just fell apart completely in the second half, Dave. It 1-for-7 the entire second half. And he had 6 turnovers in the third quarter alone. And it was just a lot of bad decisions, a lot of trying to just force things to happen. This is what happens to Boston. When they get in a situation where guys try to do this alone, their offense falls apart. And you know, when one or two guys start to do it that way, everybody else chimes in. Then you have Peyton Pritchard trying to go one-on-one more often than he should. You know, you have a lot of guys struggling to really kind of just hurts the team. It's not even a struggle. It's just they hurt the team when they try to do this one-on-one stuff. When they're at their best, the ball's moving. They're getting driving kick opportunities and things like that. And it just all fell apart in the third quarter.
Well, let's talk about that third quarter, because Miami came out with a higher level of intensity than they had to start the game. And I mean, it was clear. Bam Adebayo became a force in the third quarter. He became the guy that we talk about all the time, this defensive player of the year candidate. Jimmy Butler alone outscored the Boston Celtics 17-14. Boston was throwing the ball all over the place. Miami's defense just ratcheted up the intensity, Mo, and there just was nothing Boston could get going.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It was Miami's defense. They were swarming. They were pre-rotating. They were all over the place. And it's funny that you bring up Bam kind of blowing up in the third quarter. Somebody slapped him or something at halftime, because the way he played the first half, he was non-existent. We're talking about Robert Williams full-on outplayed him in the first half. Whatever Eric Spoelstra said to him at halftime, or the team, or whoever got on him at that point, or if it was just Bam going, okay, I'm going to play now. They need that all the time for all four quarters, because that was just impressive. It wasn't even like just dominating scoring wise or anything like that, but just the presence of him on the court was felt on all those possessions. And I think the big one was when he denies Jaylen Brown getting the ball. Brown finally gets it, drives down the lane, and there's Adebayo, who just pins it on the backboard and actually wedges it in between the backboard and the rim. Like, that was the presence and the stuff you see from Bam, where you're like, that's the potential defensive player of the year guy. And I think ultimately, you know, when you get that, it's amazing. It's just, hey, we can't have any more of that first half no-show stuff.
Oh, and we mentioned Jimmy Butler with the 41 points, 17 in the third quarter. Mo, he got to the free throw line. He shot 18 free throws. This, and it's funny, because we don't think about him as like a grift guy. We don't think about him as a flopper. He has perfected the art of getting to the line with none of us getting mad. It's pretty impressive.
Yeah, I mean, part of it too is guys jumping at pump fakes that they shouldn't. You know, Aaron Nesmith makes a great block on Oladipo, and he's so hyped up when the ball gets to Jimmy Butler. He jumps 4 times on the play, and then eventually Jimmy draws the foul. Like, it's not that hard there, you know. He has a little bit of grifting in him. Everybody relax. Nobody be mad. That's part of the game. But he's got some of that in him. But, I mean, he did a great job getting to the line.
Something else he's got in him? Got a lot of that dog in him, Mo. He had 4 steals, had 3 blocks, including blocking a 3. I mean, look, this is not Bam Adebayo blocking a 3. It's Jimmy Butler.
It wasn't like he blocked Peyton Pritchard's 3, by the way, either. It was Jason Tatum. He went from helping off the strong side corner, which is usually a big no-no in most defenses, and then recovered and timed it perfectly. Like, this, it wasn't like, oh, I tipped it and the ball went, you know, almost went towards the rim. This thing went backwards with how Jimmy blocked it, and he put it out of bounds. So, I mean, again, that's what we know of Jimmy, though. This is the Jimmy we saw in the bubble, and that wasn't a fluke. Like, people that thought the bubble stuff was a fluke, that wasn't a fluke from Jimmy. This performance really kind of shows it. And again, Dave, his performance throughout the entire playoffs has proven that.
Yeah, they got some good play from some of their role players. Gabe Vincent just hit a couple of huge threes in the third, Mo. And it just seems like Miami, we talked about this on Nerder. They can always find a guy. They always get a little something out of somebody.
Yeah, no, I mean, Gabe Vincent made some, I thought was, and this is, we can say this about everybody for the Heat, for the most part, was terrible in the first half. Had some really bad turnovers that led to opportunities for the Celtics to get out in transition, but he stayed with it in the second half. Just in the second half alone, 12 points, you know, no turnovers, two assists from Gabe Vincent. Like, that's a quality line. You also get Max Strus, who hits 11 points in the second half. Like, all of that stuff, you know, Butler went nuts, but those guys also played a big role in just adding those small little touches.
Yeah, and for Boston, they just didn't get the help. And if you only look at the box score, you might think Jaylen Brown had a decent game, Mo, but the truth is he just wasn't there tonight in a way that they needed him.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, he hit a couple of shots pretty much when the game was decided, but for the most part, struggled, man. Like, he just, it's one of those games where you're watching him. And again, I think he's one of those guys that tends to try to go one-on-one a little more often than he should. Like, Dave, I can't tell you how many times I yelled out, yo, make the extra pass. And, you know, it's not always him. It's sometimes it's the pass to him. But the teammates don't make those passes sometimes, and it's a little bit funny watching that. But he has a habit of going a bit one-on-one there and taking some tough shots. And that's, I mean, that's always going to be a problem for Boston.
Yeah, and they had Derek White and Grant Williams in the starting lineup for the missing Marcus Smart and Al Horford. And Grant Williams had a huge game the other night in that deciding game seven, and it was kind of non-existent for them. I mean, minus 14 for the game, had 7 points, 1 of 2 from three, only one rebound. And Mo, they're just going to need more out of these guys, especially we don't know if Marcus Smart's going to be healthy for game two. Al Horford's in the protocols. Who knows how long it's going to take him to get out. What are they going to do to get Grant Williams going? I mean, it's a weird thing to say, but they actually need his shooting.
No, I mean, they absolutely need to. He's a 41% three-point shooter throughout the regular season. You know, I think they definitely need him to knock down shots. They also need Derek White not to suck. And I think that's an important thing there, you know, is they need him to be good. They need him to play pretty good basketball. And when I say good, just solid. And it won't surprise me if Udoka, you know, makes a change and goes with, hey, we're going to start Peyton Pritchard over Derek White and have you come off the bench.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
At the very least with Pritchard, he's going to get the shots up. And in this game, I mean, you mentioned it maybe a little bit too hot, but he did score 18 points. He was 4 of 11 from 3, spaced the floor, hit some deep shots. I'm not against that, Mo. I think if you do that, at least you know you can juice your offense, which was a problem for them, especially in that third quarter where they just could not hit a shot. So maybe that's the move. Although I will say, I thought they went away from targeting Hero in the third. I would have liked to see more of that. Derek White was good at that early on when Hero first came in. And then they kind of went away from that. Is that something that you expect to see more of in game two?
I agree with you. I think we'll see more of that. Dave, again, two things. I think they got tired. And I think that's part of the mistakes you make when you're tired. You know, like, fatigue leads to that. Those things leads to bad decisions and dumb plays and things like that. I think, you know, ultimately, and the other thing too, Miami did a phenomenal job keeping them out of the paint. Like, we haven't even really talked about it. In the first half, Boston was getting into the paint at will. They were just driving middle over and over again. And I'm watching this thing going like, excuse me, Miami's a good defensive team. What the hell's going on? This doesn't make much sense. Like, it's a bit weird. And, you know, in the second half, and I think that's part of the area where Bam really stepped up and stuff, the drives to the middle were gone. And every time they tried to get to the paint, they were veered off and out and outside the lane and having to kind of figure it out. Like, I think that those are the two things that really changed in the third quarter. And I mean, man, again, I can't say enough, man. It was an impressive ass performance from Miami.
It was a tale of two halves defensively for Miami. They were outscored in the paint 40-20 in the first half. And then in the second half, they outscored Boston 20-8. I mean, that's part of that. That's really the story of the game. From if you just want to look at one number, Look at that difference. And I think that it will tell you a lot, Mo. So looking ahead to game two, we think that Peyton Pritchard might be the guy that gets to start just to juice the offense if Smart's unavailable. What can they do schematically to take away the stuff that Miami's doing best on offense?
You know, it's like, these are the ones that are always hard, like what to do schematically, when it's more just go back to being you and the you before you, the you when you were rolling and being that team, not the you from November and December when you guys were not very good, you know, and really struggling. But when the ball's moving, when they get into the paint and find kickouts and opportunities, get multiple drives going, move and play a little bit with more pace in the half court set, they're better. They got to get back to that. I think they played too much in the one-on-one this first game. I think they got to get back to playing team basketball.
Very important for Boston in game two to not be the team that sucks. I think that's what you're trying to say, Mo.
Yeah, just don't suck. How about that? Altogether, just don't suck.
At least suck less. Well, that's going to do it for today's show, folks. Hope you guys have a great rest of your week. Mo, let's get out of here.
Ding, ding.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.